Have you felt the world has lost its mind? That people don't have common sense anymore? Don't fear. This Common Sensocrat is here and you're not alone. You may agree, disagree, or just want to listen. If you're always up for a good time with some humor and some real talk, then you are in the right place. I'm going to update you all with the latest news in politics, culture, lifestyle, fashion, so much more. I am your host, Carrington Rowe, so gear up for the harshest truth, not the sweetest lie. Let's go. Welcome to another fun Friday, my Common Sensocrats. We have a lot of good headlines for you today. Kate Beckinsale reunites with her daughter after not seeing her for 2 years. Jamie Lee Curtis's son comes out as transgender. Update on Bob Odenkirk's condition. Candace Cameron Bure apologizes for Bible TikTok video. Jean-Claude Van Damme scares off a jewel thief. It's a good thing he still got it. HBO Max's The Prince is finally airing. Some facts about Forrest Gump that you didn't know. And we honor the memory of Dusty Hill, ZZ Top's bassist. Those are today's headlines. Let's get started. First headline I'm going to read for you here is from page 6. So Kate Beckinsale reunites with daughter after 2 years apart due to COVID-19. Kate Beckinsale has finally reunited with her daughter, Lily Sheen, after 2 long years apart due to the coronavirus pandemic. Beckinsale was photographed with Sheen at JFK Airport on Friday. And this article is from July 25th, 2021, the same day the actress spoke publicly about the pair's difficult separation. Now, the part I'm going to laugh about with this, this next part I am going to crack up about, this is what they specifically decided to highlight in the article. The mother-daughter duo were accompanied by Lily's boyfriend, David Schechter, and they all wore face masks as they made their way through the airport. Okay, you could have just given the credit to David Schechter and then stopped there. You didn't really need to reiterate that they were wearing face masks. We see that in the pictures, and also, aren't they making that? Didn't they just make that a federal thing to wear face masks at airports? So, we're not surprised they're wearing face masks, so you didn't really need to reiterate that. But that's just me. Anyway, earlier that day, the Underworld star revealed she had not seen her daughter for 2 years due to restrictions put in place because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Sheen, a student at New York University, has been residing in New York throughout the pandemic. Oh, Lord, help that child. Oh, my gosh. How's that been going for you, Lily? With all that, especially New York University area, I hope you're not near Washington Square Park, because if you all have heard about that drama, well, let's pray she was nowhere near Washington Square Park. But to move on here, she says, quote, this is from Kate Beckinsale. She said, quote, I haven't seen my daughter for 2 years because of everything. Also, I went to Canada working and she couldn't come see me. 2 years of not seeing your child to me is the most preposterous thought, end quote. And that was on Live with Kelly and Ryan. And that was on there last week. And then during the interview, Beckinsale discussed that while in New York, Sheen filmed her first feature alongside Nicolas Cage, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent is what it's called. When asked if she gave Sheen any advice on becoming an actress, Beckinsale quipped that she told her daughter to, quote unquote, be a doctor instead. Sheen is Beckinsale's only child. Her father is prodigal son actor Michael Sheen, whom Beckinsale dated for 8 years before they split in 2003. Now, of course, in celebrity world, they make this a very big deal, of course, but though Beckinsale is single now, she had revealed recently that she had never been taken on a real date. I'm like, really? That's weird, but okay. But the most weird thing is she was last linked to SNL actor Pete Davidson. Now, I'm not a big Pete Davidson fan, if I can talk today. I don't think he's that funny, and also he's not that cute. I guess if you're like into the whole tattoo bad boy thing, but if I'm going to do the tattoo bad boy thing, he could be a little more attractive, just saying. I don't think he's that cute. But that's just my opinion. And have you seen Kate Beckinsale? She's aging backwards. She looks gorgeous. Now, I'm sure she's had some face work done, but you can't really tell, in my opinion. Like, maybe if you zoom in really close on her picture, but that's about it. Otherwise, she looks amazing. Like, she really does. So, I'm sure, Kate, you will be taken on a real date soon. But the most important thing is you're reunited with your daughter. So I think that's wonderful. So that's in the whole, in all sincerity on that one. I'm glad she's reunited with her daughter. And another reason I hated lockdowns. For 2 years, they didn't see each other. For 2 years. And that's true. What a preposterous thought. How can you not see your daughter for 2 years? See, lockdowns were not a good idea. And if you heard my last episode, were lockdowns a good idea? You know exactly my thoughts about all of that. Transgenderism makes it in the news once again. Jamie Lee Curtis reveals her 25-year-old child is transgender. Jamie Lee Curtis revealed that her younger child is transgender. The Freaky Friday star told AARP magazine that she and husband Christopher Guest, quote, have watched in wonder and pride as our son became our daughter Ruby, end quote. Curtis also shared that Ruby, who was previously known as Thomas, and her fiance are getting married next year in a wedding that Curtis will officiate. Ruby works as a computer gaming editor, while Curtis and Guest's 34-year-old daughter Annie is married and works as a dance instructor. The longtime Hollywood couple have no grandchildren, quote unquote, but I do hope to, she told the magazine. Ruby's transition helped the Knives Out actress realize gender isn't fixed, and she since has tossed that out that quote unquote old idea, instead learning that her life is a quote unquote constant metamorphosis. So, I'm a little torn on this article. Only because I want to see pictures. Like I want to see the actual pictures of Ruby, which I hope they're out soon. You know, I'm like, I kind of am curious to see what Ruby's going to look like or is looking like. Now, granted, they are kind of a private family. However, if you're going to make this big of a statement, when you're supposed to be talking about your sobriety and all the other stuff, and then you throw in there, oh, hey, yeah, by the way, Thomas, my son's becoming Ruby. That's kind of a big thing to reveal in a magazine. So, especially when you're a big figure, a big icon like Jamie Lee Curtis is. Huge celebrity figure. I'm a big fan of Jamie Lee Curtis. Don't get me wrong. I'm a very, very big fan. I love her in Halloween. I watch it all the time, all year, every year. And of course, she is the original Scream Queen, you know, Prom Night, The Fog. God. And then, of course, you have all of her other classics, Trading Places, A Fish Called Wanda, True Lies. I mean, of course, Freaky Friday. You have all, I mean, she's amazing. I love her. However, with this, a part of me feels like this is just an attention grab because she has Halloween Kills coming out this October. However, I do wish them all the best. I really do. I hope everything is working out the way it's working out for you guys. I really do. But a little fun fact that you may not know about Jamie Lee Curtis. So, and I actually, the more I look through this article, the more I understand her perspective about how she says, you know, gender isn't fixed. Which of course, for those that actually know biology, we know the actual truth of that. But that, of course, transgenderism, I'm going to get into a whole other episode on that, how it's affecting society and sports and everything. But with this specific article, for those that actually don't know about Jamie Lee Curtis, she was actually born a hermaphrodite or intersex, depending on which term you're more familiar with, but they're the same thing. Basically, it's babies that are born. It's not basically, that's what's happening. It's babies that are born with both male and female sexual organs or characteristics of them, et cetera, et cetera. So when she was born, she had both a vagina and a penis. And that's true. You'll look it up. She had that. And so her parents decided to have her keep her female organs and get rid of the male organs, Which I was like, well, thank God, because she's beautiful. I mean, I'm sure she would have been a handsome dude if they'd have kept her a dude, but you have to do it right then and there. I mean, shoot, if that's the original transgenderism, I don't know what is, right? I mean, right away, you're choosing the sex right there for your own child. But it's a very rare condition. I mean, this is very rare. And Jamie Lee Curtis was born with male and female genitalia, which is why it was very difficult for her to have children, because it does cause, if you become a female, and even become a male, depending on which side they choose, well, it could cause some not reproductive issues. So, regarding having children, so Ruby and Annie, or now Ruby and Annie, are her two adopted children. So, but like I said, I wish them all the best. I do understand Jamie Lee Curtis's perspective on this one. That's why I'm a little torn, because I'm like, well, she was born with both female and male reproductive parts, so in a way, maybe that's in a way that's her perspective. But so I try to sympathize on both sides here. But with this, I, show the pictures. I look forward to seeing what Ruby looks like, just see what they do, and but we'll see. But yeah, but I will get into another episode on transgenderism and how it's affecting society and sports. So, especially these days. So, like I said, I didn't care until the press started coming out with a new article now every week about something transgenderism, whether it's about Tommy Dorfman or now Jamie Lee Curtis's son Thomas becoming Ruby. So, but I'm one of those. I want to see it. I want proof. And it's not just for attention. That's it. For those of you that have seen Breaking Bad, love that show. Or Better Call Saul, you've heard, I'm sure, about Bob Odenkirk's heart-related incident on set. So he had to be rushed to the hospital, but we got an update from Bob Odenkirk's son. He says the actor is going to be okay after the onset heart condition. So, and of course, I love the headline here. It's from Page Six. Saul had a close call, but looks like he's going to get better. So many were shocked to hear of the news of actor Bob Odenkirk's collapsing on the set of his AMC series, Better Call Saul. Fortunately, son Nate Odenkirk is assuring fans, friends, and family that the star will be just fine. Nate says, quote, "He's going to be okay." He tweeted that early Wednesday evening, hours after TMZ reported that the 58-year-old Emmy-nominated actor went down while filming in Culver City, California. A rep for Odenkirk, however, confirmed that the incident took place in New Mexico, not Culver City. Quote, "We can confirm Bob is in stable condition after experiencing a heart-related incident. He and his family would like to express gratitude for the incredible doctors and nurses looking after him, as well as his cast, crew, and producers who have stayed by his side. The Odenkirks would also like to thank everyone for the outpouring of well wishes and ask for the privacy at this time as Bob works on his recovery." So, for those of you that don't know who Bob Odenkirk is, he played the lawyer Saul Goodman in the phenomenon Breaking Bad, which is such a great show. But of course, with his character, Saul, he had a prequel series about him called Better Call Saul. And I can't believe it's in a sixth season. I mean, I actually, and don't hate me, Breaking Bad peeps, but I still have not seen Better Call Saul. So I probably should check it out. It's in its sixth season. It's probably about time I should check it out. But I'm very glad he is okay. That makes me feel a lot better, because I like him. He's a good actor. So I am happy to know that he is doing well. So yay. Stay well in recovery, and we look forward to seeing you on the small screen again soon. Candace Cameron Bure, sorry for video with Bible that was dubbed sexy. So Candace Cameron Bure apologized after critics called a recent TikTok video in which she's holding a Bible while lip-syncing to a Lana Del Rey song, or Lana Del Rey tune, quote unquote, too sexy. She says, Candace Cameron Bure said, quote, "I usually don't apologize for these things, but a lot of you thought it was weird, and I'm sorry. That was not my intention," she said in a Instagram story on Wednesday. So in the video, so in the TikTok video, the actress, a devout Christian who often discusses religion with her followers on social media, is seen lip syncing to Del Rey's song Jealous Girl while picking up a Bible and looking into the camera. She captioned the video, quote, "When they don't know the power of the Holy Spirit," end quote. Bure explained that she meant no harm and was by no means trying to come off as sexy. Quote, "I was using a very specific clip from TikTok and applying it to the power of the Holy Spirit, which is incredible. And so many of you thought I was trying to be seductive, which clearly means I'm not a very good actress because I was trying to be strong, not sexy or seductive," end quote. In the clip, she lip syncs the lyrics, "Baby, I'm a gangster too, and it takes two to tango. You don't want to dance with me, honey, I'm in love with you." The former sitcom star said she made the video after seeing her 22-year-old daughter, Natasha Bure, use the same audio and emphasize that she was trying to have a religious discussion. Quote, "I was trying to do my own version of it with the Bible and talk about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, but that basically nothing can trump the Holy Spirit, and we only know that by reading the Bible." But Bure admitted that her post didn't come across the way she had intended, and she ultimately deleted the video from Instagram, although it remains on TikTok. Quote, "Maybe I was just trying to be too cool or relevant in a biblical way that didn't work. Anyway, most of you didn't like it, clearly, but there was a small percentage of you that appreciated what I did and understood my intention. But anyway, it's gone. Now I know what you don't like," end quote. First off, I did watch the video, and I didn't see anything, like wrong with it, like, even the clothes she was wearing or anything like that. Like, she even had a top that was all the way up to her freaking neck, but no sleeves. Like, if you're, like, one of those, like, she was too revealing. It's like, okay, that I don't agree with fully, but okay. But I think the whole thing, the message didn't quite hit the mark. You'd think as an actress, she would know how to hit the mark. For those that get that reference. So, yeah, this one didn't really hit the mark on her social media. I watched it and I was a little like, I see what you're trying to do, but it's not the way to get people to read the Bible. It didn't quite get the message across fully that this is how you should read the Bible. But I get what she meant. But yeah, anyway, but I watched it. And also, I feel like she was also, for this one, trying to be like her daughter, which I feel like that's a big problem these days. We see a lot of parents trying to be like their children. And, sometimes it's okay to not to try to be like your kids, especially in this instance. Let your daughter have her moment, and then you have yours. So, anyway, that's my perspective. Do I think it was, like, offensive and what? No, but it was weird. I mean, it was a little weird. It was a weird way to convince people to read the Bible. Because that's what she's trying to do. She's trying to convey for people to, trying to convey the fact that you should read the Bible. And, you know, I get trying to make it modern, but it's to be sexy with the Bible. I don't know. I didn't like the video too much. I mean, she looked cute, but I was like, but that's about it. So anyway, next time you want to convince people to read the Bible, maybe do it possibly in a different context. Just saying. So Jean-Claude Van Damme, I guess he's still got it, because this next headline here says, "Jewel thief escapes mind-boggling heist because Jean-Claude Van Damme was nearby." So this is from the New York Post. Jean-Claude Van Damme appears to have accidentally and unwittingly aided a pair of criminals by being in the wrong place at the wrong time. The Belgian actor and martial artist was visiting an optician in Paris on Tuesday evening when, almost certainly unbeknownst to the Street Fighter actor, two suspects heisted approximately $3.5 million in gems from a nearby jeweler. Many potential witnesses to what a police officer described to newspaper Le Parisien as a quote-unquote monumental haul were distracted by the 60-year-old filmmaker and totally missed the crime. While patrons at a cafe close to the scene of the crime were possibly in both ear and eye shot of the robbery, Van Damme's presence proved the more interesting event of the moment. Would-be witnesses reported noting the actor going lens shopping, but neither hearing nor seeing any criminal activity. Even without all the prospective witnesses, however, French police managed to arrest two suspects Wednesday morning and recover a quote-unquote substantial part of the stolen property. While the culprits were not seen by the many entertainer-distracted human eyes, CCTV footage captured the purported thief arriving and leaving the store with a white bag full of gemstones. The gray-haired, suited man made his escape on a green scooter that he had parked outside the shop while he looted it. While in the store, staff told police that the thief had impersonated a customer and requested to see a number of pricey treasures before pulling out a knife. No one was harmed, thank goodness. The two arrested suspects are in their mid-50s and mid-40s. This is not the first time the shop Chaumet has been targeted in recent years. The 241-year-old brand's flagship shop was also robbed in 2009. The area's mayor, Jean de Hausser, lambasted the crime for being quote unquote or quote mind-boggling, daring, unprecedented, and regrettable, end quote. Jean-Claude Van Damme did not immediately return the post request for comment. Like, how do these things happen? Only Jean-Claude Van Damme can pull off this whole thing. But I bet you, if he found out that there were jewel thieves up in there with a knife, I actually would be curious to see if he would actually pull off his Street Fighter skills, especially when he's in his 60s. So who knows? But the fact that he actually just was so distracting enough, I mean, that still shows me that he still got it. So regardless, but at the end of the day, I'm glad they found those guys because they should be in jail. So, but Jean-Claude, you go because you still got it. Hey, Common Sensocrats, make sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'm on Spotify, Google, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. I am also updating videos for my YouTube and Rumble channel, but definitely subscribe to those anyway. So hit that button that looks like a bell so you can immediately get notified when those videos are released. Like and follow on all of the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, and Getter, Instagram, TikTok, Telegram, and of course, follow me on commonsensocrats.locals.com. If you have any suggestions on topics that you want me to cover and/or have any questions, don't hesitate to email common.sensocrat@gmail.com. And now, back to the show. HBO Max's satirical series about the royal family, The Prince, to air. HBO Max's anticipated satirical animated comedy about the royal family, The Prince, has finally set a release date, and it's much sooner than you think. So the streaming service has already dropped the first 12 episodes of the Gary Jannetty created cartoon at 3 a.m. Thursday morning. So it's already on HBO Max. I checked, I added it to my list. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing this, even though I'm sure it's completely ridiculous, but most satires are, but they're also funny. The Prince is a parodic twist about the imagined inner mechanics of the firm through the lenses of an animated Prince George, who is the eldest son of Prince William and Kate Middleton. The youngster, 8 years old, is third in line of succession to the British crown. The animated series features an all-star cast who lent their voices to characters living in Buckingham Palace. Jannetty stars in the series as the fictionalized George, Other stars who signed on as part of the voice cast include Orlando Bloom as Prince Harry, Alan Cumming as George's butler Owen, Frances de la Tour as Queen Elizabeth, Lucy Punch as Kate Middleton, Condola Rashad as Meghan Markle, Iwan Rayon as Prince William, Dan Stevens as Prince Charles, and Sophie Turner as Princess Charlotte. Stevens will also be voicing Prince Philip, who died in April at 99 years old. The Duke of Edinburgh's passing delayed the show's premiere. And, personalities who are set to guest, I'm just chuckling because in case you don't know, I'm just chuckling a lot because if you don't follow Gary Jannetty on his Instagram page, he has a very popular and hilarious Instagram profile where he often satirizes royal news by pretending George has catty and snide responses to the other members. So I have to say I do kind of laugh at his his I call them Instagram tunes, if you will, but they are pretty funny. But personalities who are set to guest star include Andy Cohen, Brad Goreski, Kelly Ripa, and several stars from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, such as Garcelle Bouvet, Erica Jane, Dorit Kemsley, Teddy Mellencamp, Kyle Richards, and Lisa Rinna. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm really excited. And actually, now that I think about this, maybe I should have Princess Chloe guest talking with me while we watch the show. That might be interesting. So it'd be nice to have Princess Chloe back. For those of you that have been listening to my show, you know who Princess Chloe is. So that would be really fun to have her on and get her take on the satirical series as well. Maybe with some tea and crumpets. What do you think? Facts you didn't know about Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump was released 27 years ago this month, and it's still as quotable as ever. The 1994 Tom Hanks and Robin Wright-led Oscar-winning romantic dramedy captivated the hearts of moviegoers with its philosophical quips and heartfelt plot lines. Now, this article comes from the New York Post, and it continues saying, "The Robert Zemeckis-directed film is still beloved by many viewers almost three decades on. Interest in the movie was reignited when Netflix's documentary series, The Movies That Made Us, released its second season on July 23rd. Forrest Gump was the subject of the fourth episode, where filmmakers discussed its legacy and how the set was unfortunately marred with issues." Now, here is what you may have not have known about Forrest Gump. First thing, the original script was different than the film now. Forrest Gump was based on the 1986 novel of the same name by Winston Groom. The author actually went to write the first draft of the flick before it went into production. Forrest was supposed to be a heavier man who sat at 242 pounds and stood at 6'6". In the book, he became a wrestler, went to space, and even hung out with an orangutan. The Netflix documentary revealed that the script went through development hell for months, and several drafts were written. The script was seen as a quote-unquote mess, and screenwriter Eric Roth ultimately wrote the final draft. Roth later won the Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay in 1995. The movie was scrapped by several production companies early on. Warner Brothers was first attached at the helm to produce the film. However, after the success of 1988's Rain Man, the studio opted not to move forward with Forrest Gump. Executives felt the quote-unquote appetite for the film of a dramatic, tug-at-your-heartstrings movie had already been fulfilled. When Kevin Jones, a Warner Brothers executive, moved to Paramount, he took Roth's script with him. And alas, Paramount scored the Oscar-winning gold with the film that said that life was like a box of chocolates. Man, I bet Warner Brothers really regrets that one, don't they? So Hanks and Zemeckis saved the movie from being shut down. The budget for the flick was a mere $55 million. Yes, that is small for the film business. And before shooting began, Paramount actually wanted to cut the budget by $10 million. Sherry Lansing, CEO of Paramount at the time, claimed that the movie was too expensive to make and wanted to cut iconic scenes such as the shrimp boat and Vietnam War battles. Hanks and Zemeckis decided to contribute parts of their salaries to make up the difference in budget cuts. Their acts allowed shooting to begin in August 1993. Paramount also suggested that Forrest's famous running scene to be cut as the shooting schedule was reaching its deadline. Zemeckis even went so far as to hire Hanks' brother Jim to be his double in all of the running scenes so production could shoot in multiple areas at one time. Zemeckis and Hanks then had to fork over another $1.5 million so that the last scene left to be shot in Monument Valley, Arizona could go on without a hitch. The studio had found out about Hanks' brother being his double, and Paramount said they would not pay for the shoot. And those are the facts you didn't know about Forrest Gump. And in the words of Forrest Gump, that's all I have to say about that. Very upsetting news came across our news feeds this week. Dusty Hill, the bassist for blues rock trio ZZ Top, has died. He was 72. Dusty served as the still active group's bassist for over 50 years. In 2004, he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of the group, which was founded in 1969. The Dallas-born musician had suffered a number of health scares in recent years, although it's unclear if these were related to his death. In 2000, ZZ Top canceled a European tour after Hill was diagnosed with hepatitis C. On Friday, ZZ Top wrote in a Facebook post that Hill was on a, quote, short detour back to Texas to address a hip issue. They await a speedy recovery and have him back pronto, end quote. Following the announcement of his death, friends and fans took to social media to pay tribute to the legendary musician. So, ZZ Top, I have listened to a lot of your music, and Dusty Hill, you sure were a hell of a bassist. So you will be missed very greatly. So everybody, please send love to the rest of the members of ZZ Top, his friends and family at this time. That wraps up my Fun Friday this week. As always, I end with a saying, but you know, I'm just going to end with this. Just take time every day to appreciate what you have. That's it. Stop wishing for the things you don't have and start appreciating what you do have. Because it can be gone just like that, in an instant. Okay? Now go listen to some ZZ Top this weekend. I know I am. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody, and look out for my new satire day tomorrow. Until next time, bye. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you liked what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and rate 5 stars in the Apple Podcasts. I need to spread the word as much as possible about this podcast, and you all are such a big help for that. So thank you so much, and I look forward to you all to listen to the next episode. Thank you.